Hi everyone, welcome to Chat and Flicks, the movie and TV podcast. I'm your host Carl Pierce, and today with us we have Richard Ellum.
Hello.
And today's episode we are talking about the films of 2009. So we're going to look at the top 10 highest grossing films of 2009 in reverse order, because it'd be ridiculous to go any other order. And then we're going to have a chat about them, and then we'll look at any that aren't in the top 10 and see if we can have any recommendations or don't recommendations. What's the opposite of not recommendations? Avoid?
Yeah.
Avoid.
Thumbs
down and thumbs up. There we go. Right, so we'll get crack on straight away. At number 10 is The Hangover, which made a worldwide gross of $468 million.
That surprised me.
That is so much.
That surprised me. I know it's got its following, but
yeah,
for the 10th highest gross. Hang on.
So big.
Is it because it cost bugger all to make? Could it be that? The budget must have been very low.
Not sure about the percentages, but I think it's just how much it made, box office.
Right.
Off the list I've got, it just says box office.
Blimey.
I know, crazy.
The 10th highest, I mean, I was having a quick nose at the films that were released in this year, and there's some biggies in there. So unless that is the end of the list, but blimey,
yeah,
that's huge.
What do you think of The Hangover then? Do you like it?
Never seen it.
Never seen it, really?
No, I think I have, and I don't know. I wouldn't go back and see it, so what would that be, a 6, 5, 5
yeah,
and a half?
Yeah, it's an average film.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first watched it, I was like, this is fantastic. What a great premise that they're going back and finding out what happens in the night before. So, for those who haven't seen it, basically, group of fellas, go on to a stag do to Las Vegas. One of them drugs the rest of them, gives them roofies, is that right?
I think so,
yeah. And then, so they basically forget the whole night and wake up in the morning and the room's like trashed. And I think, is it this one with the tiger in it? Or it might not be, there's a monkey.
Can't remember.
It's got some sort of animal in there. The room's wrecked, there's, you know, they don't know what's happened, and basically they've got like to go and find out and backtrack where they were last night and what happened.
It's a Red Dwarf episode.
I suppose it is. And then they're trying to find the groom, aren't they, wherever he is. And I really like the first one. I think the first one's great. It's very funny. It was original at the time. And then when they made number two and three were awful. Two was just a rehash of the first one. And the third one just wasn't very funny. Just a bit crude. Whereas this is crude, but it's funny with it. I always get mixed up. I think this is the one with Mike Tyson in it.
Yeah.
So basically, Mike Tyson punches one of them the night before, and that's why he's lost a tooth. Things like that. But yeah, it's good. Sort of made Zach Galifianakis, is it? Sort of made him, started his career off. Bradley Cooper's in it. A few other people you've probably recognise. But yeah, good films. I'll tell you what, Richard, can you find out what it was on IMDb?
Just it's 7.7.
There you go, 7.7 for IMDb.
When we have a look at what the director's done, his biggest one, it was Todd Phillips, his biggest one is Joker.
Joker, absolutely.
But he's also done a lot of he did 2 and 3, but he also did a couple of other things similar, like Old School.
Was that him, yeah?
Yeah, Due Date, Road Trip, you know, typical. He seems to have found his what he likes, and then Joker.
Yeah,
we did War Dogs as well. So
I've never seen that one.
Quite a change.
Yeah, they're very similar films, aren't they? Sort of Road Trip and that.
Yeah.
I think Hangover was a bit of a step up, but yeah, the comedy is very similar.
It's sort of like that American student-y type of thing, but this is obviously with older people.
Yeah, that's it. And Bradley Cooper's fit. Right, number 9, grossing $485 million worldwide, is Angels and Demons. So this is the second film in the Da Vinci Code saga, if you want to call it that. Tom Hanks stars, can't remember who else is in it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to tell us in a second. Is this Hugh McGregor's one?
You know what?
Do you know?
No. Do you know what I've actually put in?
Go on.
Angles and Demons.
Angles.
The amount of times we tell people to spell it right.
Yeah.
Chelsea. It's like pretty much unknowns.
I thought Hugh McGregor was in this one, isn't he? With the priest. I'm sure Hugh McGregor's.
Hang on. This isn't the Angels and Demons that we know. That's a blinking.
Come on, IMDb.
Here we go. Ewan McGregor.
There you go.
Yes.
So,
Only 6.7, by the way, while we got it up.
Well, I don't think this is a very good film. Now, I've watched this as part of my collection cull. So I have talked about this on a previous podcast already. It's just very bland, very forgettable.
I think that they're trying to... I mean, it's Ron Howard, so maybe they're trying to sell it on that, but also off Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Which was... I mean, people were like almost living their lives. Everything that's in the Da Vinci Code's true, and so. But is there a third film?
There is. I think it's called. Well, there's definitely a third.
It's quite
Inferno.
Inferno.
Was it a book? Was it a film?
Quite. I think so. I think it's the third one in the book saga thing.
Yeah.
But that's difficult watching some places.
Is
I'd say that that's a better film than Angels and Demons. But like you say, it's just a little bit. What happens in it?
Yeah, it's very bland.
Yes, yeah. I thought it was going to be like a new, starting with the Da Vinci Code. I thought it was a new, not genre, but maybe sort of like the 2000s or 2009s take on Indiana Jones type of stuff.
Mm.
But it just didn't go anywhere really.
Yeah, it was a bit too serious for its own good, wasn't it?
Mm.
Like Indiana Jones got a bit of tongue in cheek, isn't it? Whereas, yeah, that was just like super serious.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it is what it is. If you like the book, you probably like the film. I didn't mind Da Vinci Code. I actually preferred the film to the book
because
I think the book was just a bit. It's one of them page turns. You always don't know what's going to happen next. But I think the film was more interesting. But yeah, it was a bit lightweight. Lightweight films, aren't they? But yeah, it made loads of money, as you can tell. What was that?
6.7 was it?
6.7. That's I'd say that's too high. I'd be rating it lower than that. Me.
I'd probably. It's one of those films where I'd watch it again to see if I was wrong about what I thought about it.
Yeah.
But it. What was the story? It just seemed to. If you were going to do a story and you were going to do it like as a graph of excitement and this is what happened, it would just be a straight line, a very low straight line.
Yeah.
Is
it where the Pope gets... They're trying to choose a new Pope, aren't they? Because I remember the smoke...
Isn't that Inferno?
Oh, is it?
Is that Inferno? I can't remember.
I remember the smoke changing the colour and I remember thinking that's CGI smoke. That's the most memorable thing of this film.
Well,
the CGI smoke.
There we go.
There you go.
That says a lot.
Right, number 8. A bit of a better film, this one. Grossing 524 million at the box office was Sherlock Holmes. So this is the Robert Downey Jr. Holmes.
I like these.
Yeah.
Going back to a bit of tongue in cheek. I was wondering how they were going to take it because it's a Sherlock that we've never seen in sort of like the way he can fight.
Yeah.
And he can stand. I liked the way it was done. Is there going to be a third one?
I believe so.
I quite like him.
So directed by Guy Ritchie, starring Robert Downey Jr. and
many other
Jude
people.
Law plays
Jude
Dr.
Law
Watson.
Dr. Watson.
Mark Strong plays the baddie.
Love him.
Is it Rachel McAdams plays?
Is she a goodie or a baddie? She's a bit of.
In this one, she's a goodie.
She turns at the.
Isn't that the second one?
Is that? Does she turn at the very end?
I think she's a goodie all the way through. In the second one, I think there's another lady who turns because. I can't remember her name, but in the books, like there is a lady who's a bit dodgy. She's like Sherlock's equal, but is a bit dodgy. But yeah, very enjoyable films.
Yes.
I mean, like you say, the fight scenes are really good, aren't they? The way they're done.
Yeah, and how he beforehand he preempts what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and he's got his plan ready. It was weird the first time I saw it. Because we were used to this older person, this older Sherlock Holmes, who is very British, very Victorian British, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then we see this new take on it, and it's like, yeah, well, why not?
Yeah, action star, Sherlock Holmes, action star.
Yeah, a lot to like about it, a lot to like about this, the reboot.
I seem to remember it coming out around the same time as the Benedict Cumberbatch BBC Sherlock Holmes.
Did it?
I'm sure it was around about the same time.
I love them as well.
Yeah, they were good, weren't they? And it was a different take again, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was a more traditional take, but modern.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a modern take on a traditional setting.
This is a film take. A sort of like a, let's go for it.
Yeah.
You know, let's get some violence and fighting and...
explosion.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Fighting on top of the
bridge. There you go. So, things that in a book you wouldn't really... it wouldn't make a difference, but in the cinema, yes, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
It is.
Very more watchable than the book, definitely.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever read them?
No.
I've read a few of them, like, they are good, like.
I don't read.
They are good. Very hard to, like, get into in terms of, like, the language, because obviously it's 100-odd years old or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, fascinating fact, filmed down by my house. So filmed at the Stanley Dock down there.
Yes, as was Captain America.
Yeah.
There's a lot there around by the tea warehouses.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the warehouse. What was it called?
And the Titanic.
Titanic Hotel down there, ways, yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Good. And what was that on IMDb, did you see?
We didn't. We'll so, Sherlock Holmes. Did it have a, what do you call it? Did it have another name, or was it just a sequel that
I think, yeah, I think it was just a
Book of Games or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Book of Shadows.
So, Book of Shadows. Mm-hmm. So, Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. got 7 point scroll up 6.
Yeah, that's about right.
And I'd watch them again. I would easily watch them again. Reminds me a lot of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit like that. And yeah, I do like that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Right, next one, probably won't be spending too much time talking about this, but at number 7, the 7th highest grossing film of 2009. Big jump this though, $709 million.
What was the last one?
524, so the massive jump now. It was the Twilight Saga, New Moon.
Okay, so thoughts? What's the next one?
I think it's the third film.
I watched the first one. I can see why it's got its audience.
Yeah.
It wasn't awful, as in, like, you know, but just not for me, but I can understand.
Yeah.
Which one was it? New Moon, did you
New
say?
New Moon, yeah.
New Moon. So this got...
So it goes Twilight, then it's... Is it New Moon next?
Yep.
And then Breaking Dawn
after
Breaking
that. Dawn.
Breaking Dawn. Okay, so it's number 2.
4.7.
No way.
So really? Even the people who've gone and watched it, this is what amazes me about things like what is it? What's TOWIE? The Only Way Is Essex and Made in Chelsea and all of those. When you IMDb it, the scores are horrendous. So these are obviously by the people who've been watching it. So they've gone and watched it and they've gone, I'm going to say how off, but they're still churning it out.
Yeah, gone out the way to put it down.
4.7.
That's mad, I mean, I don't remember anything about this film. I think, is this the one where the wolf comes into it? Because he wasn't in the first one, was he?
I can't remember. Worst, it was a long time ago.
Worst love... Like romantic relationship ever, worst triangle ever. Anyway, it is what it is. It's just, as you say, it's for the fans, it's for the people who like the book and people who like vampires. So, my Mrs. Lorna adores it. Loves the films, loved them. Not for me.
I was just having a look at what the director, what else he's done.
Yeah,
his star, although he's uncredited, which I don't get, is American Pie. It's on About a Boy, Golden Compass, Operation Finale, and it's his first film, this one, unfortunately.
Right.
So he's done some decent films, but it just seemed like it was a little bit of a... I don't know. His films are all different as well.
Yeah.
Certainly all different genres, but...
He might have been filming the second unit on them when he's, like, uncredited. So he wasn't, like, the boss, he was just, like, doing the... Location.
Well, just said directed by. Mm. I think that it's the other person who directed American Pie. It looks like it's going to be a brother or father, same surname anyway.
Oh right,
there we go, Chris Veit.
Okay,
we
fair
love
enough.
Chris. Go for it.
Right, next one, number 6, a boss film. Actually, this we always talk
boss.
About this one.
I know what.
Grossing $735 million. Dollars at the box office was Pixar's Up.
Okay.
So tells a story of a grumpy old we're talking about before, I mean, tells a grumpy old man who wants to take his house away to somewhere paradise or somewhere, I can't remember what it is, and basically attaches hundreds of millions of balloons, whatever, to the top of his house and floats off, and inadvertently takes a Boy Scout with him. Yeah, great film, fantastic. I mean, we always talk about it, the standout moments as the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not just those first 10 minutes are brilliant and sad and all of that, everything we've talked about before, done it to death. But when you think about the rest of the film, you forget about how good the rest of it is.
Yeah.
It is very, very good. Has anybody done a study on finding out how many balloons he'd need or anything like that? I'm sure somebody has.
I think they have. And I think it's greatly under. Yeah. It's well under what he's got there.
Great story.
It is. It's a great film. And the dog, I can't remember the dog's name, but he sort of has a voice box, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And we always say it, but we go, Squiddle!
Yeah.
All the time. Even when it's not a squiddle, just like, you find yourself quoting it. But yeah, really good film.
Dog. The dog's
is that
called dog.
Dog. Dog's yes. called dog. There you go.
And then you got the evil dogs.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because they've got a voice box as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. Really, really good.
No, it is.
It's classic Pixar, classic Disney. Exactly what you want from them films.
8.3. So we've almost doubled the score from.
What was it?
8.3.
Wow. Yeah. That's about like that.
That is good.
That is good. It deserves it, doesn't it? It's definitely got to be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, good film. Up, go and watch it, definitely. Right, number five. Grossing $769 million, nearly $770 million, is the film called 2012.
I don't think I've ever seen this one.
So this is basically... So for those who weren't around in 2012 and 2009, before 2012, the Mayan calendar stopped at 2012. So a lot of people believed that that was going to be the end of the world. So this plays on that myth, basically, that, you know, the world ends in 2012. I can't remember who's in it.
John Cusack, Tandy Newton, Chet.
I can't pronounce his name, but yeah, sorry, he's been in loads of stuff.
Amanda Peet, Oliver Platt, a lot of faces that we recognise.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson, Danny Glover. Goodness me. So I've never seen it.
No, it's all right. Yeah,
it's a Roland Emmerich who famously did Independence Day.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that's right. But yeah, it's basically just not running the mill, but it's your disaster movie.
Yeah.
You know, earthquakes, floods, volcanoes, everything you want. Excuse me, everything you want, basically in a disaster movie, just destruction and carnage.
Mm. Thing is, it would have been after The Day After Tomorrow. Would it have been?
Possibly.
So, you could almost say it's already been done, but it's still sold well.
Yeah.
But it only gets 5.8.
Yeah, it was okay. It was worth a watch.
Mm.
Yeah, give it a go.
So yeah. It's nothing to do with is it Nosferatu, the guy who predicted things?
I don't think so.
I thought there was another film that
it could be. The San Andreas, isn't he, as well, with The Rock?
Yes.
Is that the one you're thinking of? I haven't seen that one. Very similar again. I mean, at the time, I'm going off my memory. At the time, there was a big hoo-ha with, the world's going to end in 2012.
Yes, yeah.
Ooh, all that.
Because it hadn't in 2000 at midnight,
it
had it?
No,
so,
it didn't.
You know, we were lucky there.
The party didn't end in 1999 for some reason. we were lucky, unlucky maybe, I don't know. But it's not a bad film. I'd say, if you like disaster movies, it's very similar to those San Andreas, Day After Tomorrow, Independence Day, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah, it is.
But you can't beat the disaster movies of the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Go and watch your favourite one. Tower and Inferno, things like that.
Tower and Inferno, you got Poseidon. Oh, sorry. It's Poseidon Adventure, because Poseidon was the re-release, wasn't it?
The remake.
Oh, gosh. There's all sorts, but I can't even think.
Airport, is that one?
Airport.
Yeah. See,
we're laughing because of Airplane, of course.
Yeah. Or Aeroplane. I still don't know the difference between them two words, never mind. They're more like small scale disaster movies, aren't they? Whereas this, whole world is dying. Like
Armageddon.
Armageddon's another one, yeah.
Armageddon.
Everybody's dying. Everybody's getting killed, basically, except this one family. And yeah, decent. And it made a lot of money. People like seeing destruction and carnage, and it was done well enough.
I bet it was centred around a load of major cities. That's what I always thought was funny about, like, Independence Day, was that everything's American.
New York,
the Americans.
Yeah,
and
the White House.
Yeah.
What else did he blow?
They must have done the Eiffel Tower. They must have done Big Ben. They must have done, you know, yeah, any key.
There is nowhere else.
And when you sort of like sit back and think, you know what, this is actually rubbish.
Yeah.
And it's just, whoa, everything's going on, and you're chewing gum for the eyes. So
that, yeah, I mean, Independence Day. Yeah, absolutely. Independence Day. That. I remember watching that and being fascinated by it because it looked so real. I mean, probably looking at it now, it probably doesn't. I don't know, but the effects were amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know how they done it? It was all like small scale models that they they got actual aliens. Good films. Good films. Independence Day. Second one was a bit bland, but there it is. Right, number four, and this is where you get into like, oh, really? But number four, grossing $836 million worldwide, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Yay!
Now this was Transformers 2, am I right there?
I think so. Oh, was that Dark of the Moon?
Is it Dark of the Moon, the second one? Because I remember thinking, the first one was really good, I really enjoyed it. The second one, a bit more the same, but nothing spectacular. The third one, it just exists. Nothing much to say about it. It's giant robots killing each other and punching each other.
I think the worst moment in this for me is when we go back to Megan Fox's character and she's straddling a motorbike trying to airbrush it in the most ridiculous pose, showing off her thighs. And you just think, Michael Bay, come on, grow up. Now, I mean, we love you, Michael, but...
I might have to say, but I don't think that's this film, is it? Isn't that the second one? Because I don't think she's in this one.
No, that's the second one. Revenge of the Fallen, 2009, that was hers.
Was she in it? Yeah. I didn't think she was in it.
Yeah, the second film. I thought we'd already covered that.
Is this number two or number three?
This is number two.
Oh, is it number two?
Yes,
Oh, so Dark of the Moon is number
three?
Dark
of the Moon is number three.
Right, okay. Yes. See, as you can tell, we get mixed up between these
films. You know what? They just become a mismatch of all sorts, don't they?
Yeah, they're very interchangeable, aren't they?
I don't think it deserves 5.9. I don't think it's that bad.
Mm.
Maybe a 6.3. I don't know.
Very accurate.
5.9.
I can't tell you anything about this. As you can tell, to get sort of all melt into each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can tell you the first one in quite detail. I've seen the first one, and even Bumblebee, like one of the newer ones, was great. And I can tell you what happened in that film. But this, I just don't know what happened. The Fallen. Who was the Fallen? The Fallen was a.
He was meant to be an Autobot, but he changed. Is that the one who was Leonard Nimoy? Voiced by him.
No, that's Megatron, I think.
No, Megatron was. Oh, I can see his...
Oh, Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, yes.
Well, there's one of these baddies who's...
Somebody's going to be screaming at
me. I know, yeah. There's one of these baddies who's voiced by the original Megatron, but it's not Megatron from the cartoon. It's like... But I don't know who it is. Anyway, yeah, Transformers. You know what you're getting.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Right, number three, grossing $886 million, is Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. So not even the first Ice Age. I don't know which one it is, but it's making a proper bank, isn't it? Like, isn't it? It's not far off $1 billion. You know, $886 million.
They didn't really do a massive amount of toys and stuff like that. I was just wondering if they'd. But this is box office anyway. Not. This is going to be the third or fourth. It's difficult to really make out. Possibly third.
Yeah, I can't tell.
I think with all of their films, they tried to introduce something new, which was quite nice. Is this the one with Simon Pegg in?
Now, I don't know, because I think I've only seen the first one. I haven't seen any of the others.
Oh, right.
I know the kids have watched them.
But, I don't think they'd grow old. Obviously, if we had some sort of scientist/historian, they'd be... We had a colleague once who hated Finding Nemo because of the freshwater, saltwater issue.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just, you mentioned it and he got quite annoyed, and I dare say people would be like this with the timeline of it, you know. You wouldn't get them existing at the same time as that, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's a cartoon animals talking.
You know, at the end of the day, they're talking, as you
say.
But I think the Simon Pegg character reignited it a little bit.
Nice.
With Bucky, who he had like just these tales, these tall tales, and it's like really, but it was great fun.
Yeah, and is it Sid who's the like the
Sid the Sloth? Yeah, voiced by John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo, that's him.
That's the one.
Because is he? Oh no, sorry, I'm thinking of the little mammoth squirrel.
He doesn't make a noise, does he?
He doesn't, does he? But like, that's what sticks in my mind for these films is his little thought sort of.
Cameo appearance.
Yeah, his little battle with the nuts and trying to get the nuts all the time, and then all the little silly things that happen. I feel like I've seen that more. Maybe I've seen like some of the short films of him. I don't know his name, but yeah. So yeah, would you recommend
Scrat?
Is it? There we go. So you'd recommend these though? Yeah, like definitely all family all films, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. What's it get? It gets 6.9. So does this quickly say? So the very first Ice Age, which we'll obviously cover in future, it got 7.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what year was that?
That was 2002.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, wow. I'm going to say it another way. That was 21 years ago. That sounds so bad. And then 6.8 for the second one.
Wow.
Now the last one, they are... But you see, there's all sorts of the Scrat Tales, The Adventures of Buck Wild. The last proper film was Collision Course.
Oh yeah,
and
that's the media
something. Again, a little bit nuts. 5.6, and then there's the one where you've got the apes who are that's Continental Drift, with the apes. I think that are like pirates, for want of a yeah. They're like 6.5, so they're all doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But the last one was 7 years ago now, so maybe they're calling it a day.
Was it really? Sure.
7 years ago, 2016. Now I'm no maths. Teachable.
That is seven years ago. Like, I feel like there was one more recently.
Unless it's
there must have been
Scrat Tales.
I don't know. Maybe yeah.
The Adventures of Buck Wild, which is not classed as an Ice Age one, is that a film? It is a film, but it's has it got the others in it? They're not credited, so possibly not.
No, a little
Buck
spin-off.
Wild, by
little
the way, is the Simon Pegg.
So he's got a bit like an eye patch, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen that, yeah. I haven't seen a film, I've seen a picture of him. So yeah, Ice Age, like good stuff. Right, number two. Not really surprised for number one and number two now. But grossing $933 million. Do you know what it is?
Nope.
Do you want to have a guess?
It might spoil it for later on, but let me have a think. We've got Watchmen, we've got Inglourious Basterds. Go on, what is it?
It is Harry Potter
and
the Half-Blood Prince.
Right.
Now, which one's that?
That's the one that has Harry Potter and the Half-Blood.
Yes.
Is it the first dark one?
I thought the Prisoner of Azkaban was the first. Oh, no.
No, that's.
Oh, I'm getting confused.
That's still quite.
That's my favourite one, that one.
Yeah, I like that one. I think this is the first dark one. It's where he realises. Spoilies!
Oh,
that,
yeah. No, I can't
say
that.
Alan Rickman character is the Half-Blood Prince. That's the spoiling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because we think it's Snape at first, don't we, in the film? That's right.
You know what? I don't know. This is awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't actually know what happens on it.
Yeah. Apologies to the Harry Potter fans out there. You probably are screaming at your phone.
We know. We love them. But I just can't. If I sat down and I wasn't on the spot and I wasn't getting recorded, I could say, let me have a think about it. But what actually happens?
Yeah, what's the plot? Have you got it there?
6 year at Hogsworth, he discovers an old book marked the property of the Half-Blood Prince, and begins to learn about his Lord Voldemort's dark past. So yeah, it's the first dark one.
Yeah.
But God, that's bad, that.
Yeah. Good. What's it get in terms of rating?
It gets, I'm going to say an 8. 7.6.
Yeah. They had the good films. I mean, they're very, very enjoyable, aren't they? You know what you're getting. And obviously, we've talked about in the past where people grew up with these films.
Mm.
Grew up with the kids who were in that film, and came of age when they were in the final film. So it means a lot to a lot of people, and that's why it's made so much money. It's probably very similar to like the way the Marvel films are now, where people have grown up with Tony Stark and Captain America, and then want to see where they go next and that sort of thing. So, yeah, good films, like them. Right, Big one. What do you think number one is?
Well, Inglourious Bastards.
No, not even close. I don't think they were very commercially successful. They more, well, certainly Inglourious Bastards was critically successful. So it's, well, it's the most successful film of all time.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So it's raking in 2.743 billion. I was going to say, I had to get that right. $1 billion, $2.7 billion is Avatar. The original first Avatar. And again, we talked about it the week because the second one came out a while, like before Christmas, I think it was. Yeah, not a bad film. We've talked about it. I don't think it's an amazing film.
No, I think it's quite overrated.
Yeah, I think so. The 3D element to it, a lot of people go, oh, it's the best 3D film ever. Okay, fair enough. Don't tend to agree, but that's where it is.
I just feel like we're in a video game. We're watching a video game.
Yeah.
Going back to Transformers, I always say that they're the best special effects I've seen.
Yeah.
And I still stand by that, despite the fact that films are old. I mean, I don't know when the first one was, but obviously before 2009.
Yeah.
And it just looks fake to me. And then the bit where the guy gets in the loader, in Aliens.
Yeah.
He's not part of it. You can see it's layered.
Yeah. He looks like he's shaking around it.
So there's one thing I don't know why people are going on about. Second thing, it's a good guy versus bad guy. And a Fern Gully story. So if you take the effects, if you take the actual visual out of it and the story out of it, what are we left with? Why do people love it so much? Why did it make so much? Is it because I remember my brother saying people were coming out of cinemas and that they wanted to go to this place and they
lived it. Is it Pandora?
Yeah,
is it?
Yes.
Something like that. I mean, it does look beautiful and it is, as you say, the effects are great. You know, it's obviously well made. And it's, you know, the acting's generally good, but I don't know what all the hype is. I don't get the hype.
7.9, so it's not the best film of that year, but it doesn't always work that way, does it?
No. Yeah. Have you seen the second one yet?
No.
Are you going to bother?
I don't think so. If it's on telly, I might go, what's all the fuss about?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. I don't think I'd buy it.
No, I wouldn't. And it won the Oscar the other week, didn't it?
What for?
Special effects. So I know, like, you know, watching the Corridor Crew on YouTube, like they talk about special effects and things. They rate it highly in terms of special effects. So, you know, they are doing something right. They are doing something that they should be. You know, high end technology and so on. But yeah, doesn't float my boat.
Sorry, Avatar.
Yeah. We don't dislike you, we just don't get you. But that's a mad amount of money. Now, I wonder whether, because it was 3D, I wonder whether that's why it's grossed
people
so much.
People went to the cinema to buy it, as opposed to thinking, we'll wait until it comes out.
Did I add that extra pound on make that a big, massive draw? I don't know if that's included.
And back then, I don't think the cinemas, obviously the cost wouldn't be as much as it was now, but like you say, it was about another pound, wasn't it, for 3D films?
Yeah.
And back in 2000, that would have been about another, at least a tenth of the budget would have come from that, the money that we're talking about would have come from that then.
Mm. Yeah, would have thought so.
And also how many people went back to see it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, isn't it? Multiple viewings and all that sort of thing. Yeah. Oh, good. So there's our top 10.
Not our top 10.
Well, the top 10.
The top 10.
So let's go back and pick some of the films out which we liked personally. And I think we'll scroll through the list. Could do it that way?
Yeah.
Have you got a different list there, have you?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Number 12, Star Trek, the Star Trek reboot with Chris Pine.
I like them.
Yeah, I did. I like them. Particularly that first one. It linked in very nicely to the original, storylines and... You had this new crew doing the older crew, but yeah, I liked it, really enjoyed it. I know the third one wasn't great, I couldn't say anything about it. But the second one, the first one was good, the second one was alright.
The first one was just Star Trek, wasn't it? Second one was something about darkness?
Yes, into
darkness.
Yeah, into the dark.
One was
Star Trek into darkness, that's it.
The one with Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
Say no more. And the third one's called Beyond. Star Trek Beyond.
Yes, yeah.
Something like that.
I like them. If they keep them coming out, I'd watch them.
I think they cancelled the next one, didn't they?
Oh,
didn't,
right.
Yeah, because the third one didn't do very well. But, hey ho. X-Men Origins Wolverine. Now, this is sort of... has a cult following, or is notorious, maybe I should say, for being the first appearance of Deadpool.
Really?
Yeah, so Ryan Reynolds plays Deadpool in this film, and the rest of the film's okay, it's not amazing, but it's an alright X-Men film. Ryan Reynolds plays Deadpool, and he's totally different to the Deadpool that we know now, and the Deadpool from the comic books. Basically, he's known as the Merc with the Mouth, and, you know, he's always wisecracking and things like that. And then during the film, they shut his mouth closed. It's just very, very strange. Like, so he can't speak. He's just like right. this mute, antagonist, if you like. But I'm glad they rectified it with the proper Deadpool, Deadpool films. But yeah, one of them in it, one of them. Whether you like X-Men films or not, it's all right. It's not great. Terminator Salvation. This was Terminator 4.
Now, is this the one with spoilies, who was the dude, Sam Worthington?
Sam Worthington, yeah.
Christian Bale. This one. It was different.
Yeah.
It was... We said the third one. So obviously we've got the first one, the 87?
84, was it?
84.
I think so.
Then we had Terminator 2. Brilliant. Two brilliant films. And then Terminator 3. Bit of a letdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, more of the same.
Now, the fourth one, is this the fourth one?
Yep.
Right. And it was like, we're back to where we were. This should have been the third film in its, how good it was.
Timelines, yeah. It sort of takes it to the future, doesn't it? And you see the future after the robots have taken over and humanity trying to claw back some.
Because if you've got resistance. Sarah Connor bringing, I know she didn't bring up John Connor, like massively, the John Connor we saw in Terminator 2 and the Terminator 3, these are totally different people.
Yeah.
How do you go from that one to that one?
Yeah.
The one in, what's this film?
Salvation.
The one in Salvation, it was a little bit more realistic that person could have grown into this new John Connor.
Yeah.
Played by Christian Bale, as you said.
And the famous outburst on the set, where the lighting fella, the light when he's trying to act and he starts kicking off at him. Yeah, it's funny. Right, number 20 you've mentioned already, Inglourious Basterds.
Only 20?
Yeah, the 20th highest grossing film of the year. Oh, an amazing film. Quentin Tarantino, Brad Pitt.
So many things going on in it.
Michael Fassbender, Christopher Waltz, we talked about last episode. Great film.
So many fantastic bits. So there's the first scene, which probably goes on a lot longer than we realise.
Yeah.
And it's like in chapters, and I'm wondering in the film, does it say like chapter one? And I'm sure it does.
He definitely does it in Kill Bill, and he does it in, I think, he's done it in other films, hasn't he?
I think he does it in this, because when they go to the cinema and it says what it is, it's in German.
I can't remember.
Because I was watching it with somebody who speaks German, and he said, oh, that means this, and it, like, ah, right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, the chapters in it, and they're all... mini stories, but obviously linked to the whole thing.
Yeah, it'll be a bit like Pulp Fiction. It all comes together at the end.
What film was this? And it, oh, that was Inglourious Basterds. Oh, was it? I thought it was the. Oh no, that was. You know, all of those things were in that one film. Oh right, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it.
Yeah,
it's good, especially with my Tarantino phobia.
Yeah.
Legend and I think it's brilliant. Really, really good film.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the. Bit where you've got, oh, I can't remember what he's called. He's coming out of the cave.
Oh yeah, the bear Jew, is he? They call him the bear Jew, don't they?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and he's slapping the bass.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got the Nazi, and they've got them hostage, and he's basically they introduce him.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he say like basically if you take that uniform off, we won't kill you or something like that? It's something along those lines, isn't it?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Yeah, and then he won't take it off. Fair play to the German fella, but... great film. And again, we talked about Michael Fassbender last week, didn't we? Sort of, he's brilliant in this as well.
Yes.
You know, that's another great... You've got, like I say, all these little pockets of fantastic scenes. Like the first scene with Christopher Waltz. Then you've got that scene in the bar with Michael Fassbender and all them, who, you know, doing the meeting up and all that sort of thing. You've got the actual, you know, like you say, when the killing the Nazis, the what they called? Oh, the bastards themselves. Yeah. The bastards.
That's when they're all introduced, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all these little self-contained bits, and then, like, yeah, the bit at the end with the cinema, and it's a bit of a heist movie, isn't it? Like, sort of becomes that. Yeah, great. Great film. Right, next, any that stand out? Let's look. Can't say anything that's standing out to me. Anything on you for you?
Mentioned it before, and I would have thought it'd be The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Is it there?
It's number 34 on the list.
Right.
The 34th highest going film.
See, I think that's going to last very well. Mm. I think you can. I'd watch that again many, many times.
Yeah.
What did that get in our IMDb? Because I think I'd give it like a good 8, a good solid 8. I would watch it many, many times, and I certainly would recommend people go watch it as well.
Yeah.
So it's just so weird. It's
and you haven't
so
read the book.
Strange.
You haven't read the comic book, no, or the graphic novel, have you?
No.
And
7.6.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably could say about that. Yeah, maybe I'd push it towards 8 myself. Mm. Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. It's Zack Snyder obviously directed it. It's well directed, well made. It's very slick. It's very stylized. Yeah. If it's quite faithful to the comic books, actually, it's not super faithful. Obviously, you know, things do change in it, but it's quite good. You know, they change the ending. But I really love it. Yeah, it's great. Have you seen the extended cut yet?
It's like, I think I will have.
Yeah,
sure, I will.
It's like 4 hours long. And I think, again, I've spoken about this before. In the comic book, there's a comic book within the comic book about pirates. They something to do with the Black Freighter. It's like pirates, basically. And it's sort of talking about the story that's going on in the pirates' world. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what they did was, it's obviously not in the film, but then they made an animation of it. And then in this extended cut, it's cut within the film.
Right.
And it sort of relates to the film as well.
Maybe I haven't seen this.
Yeah. It's only on Blu-ray. I had to buy it on Blu-ray, that one. So I might lend it out if you need to.
Yeah,
see.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very, very good film. Enjoy Watchmen.
I've got another one, bit of a niche one.
Go on.
Moon with Sam Rockwell.
Is that 2009?
It says 2009.
Great film.
7.8 IMDb. So it stars Sam Rockwell as a sort of a mining engineer on the moon.
Yeah.
Maintenance guy. And I've just remembered we've got a cameo with Matt Berry.
There is Matt Berry, isn't it? Yeah, he is. He plays like the.
It is his contact
boss,
on the earth,
boss,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, hang on a second, it's Matt Berry, because it was a big film, and like, there's the guy out of the IT crowd,
and a very straight role for him as well.
Yes, yeah. The character, he's only got a couple of months less, or a couple of weeks, or days even. On the moon, he's doing his last couple of days, and he's wanting to get home to see his wife. And I think if I say any more, it'll spoil it.
It probably will, yeah. Because this is sci-fi done well. This as well.
Yes.
It's
full on sci-fi.
It's very reminiscent of Alien, like the way, like, you know, it's very isolated, isn't it? It's very claustrophobic.
Yes. Yeah. Very sad.
But then you've got your twists and turns in the story.
It's got Kevin Spacey's the.
Who's he in it?
Computer. Is he the voice of the computer?
Yes, I think he is, isn't he? Yeah.
Nice soothing voice. Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, for some people, anyway.
Brilliant film.
It's a great film. It's. I think it was classed like a bit of an indie film. It was very low budget, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, great. Love it. Good stuff. Any more stickers?
Yeah, absolutely loads.
Go on.
There are so many. When we do this, sometimes we'll say at the end, well, this was a rubbish year for and we're spoiled for choice here.
Yeah, because what tends to happen is the box office doesn't tend to be very good. It's sort of like, yeah, they're all right films, but they just make loads of money. But then when you start looking at the other ones,
loads. District 9 is another good one.
Yeah.
And this is the difference between. This is another Independence Day in a way that. It's not all these big fancy cities. So aliens come into a South African ghetto, basically.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's more like it. You know, they can't pick and choose. They're going to find the biggest place on the earth with the most important people. And they set up shop in the ghetto and they just become part of everyday life.
Is it shanty towns? Is that what it's called?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I can't know what they're called, yeah.
And they've got jobs, and there's things going on in the background, though.
Yeah.
And it's a good film.
It is, and it's very like, what's the word? Where it like, not explicit, but it's like in the background, like the subtext.
Yeah, is that, of course, yeah.
It's based on apartheid and that sort of thing, and persecution and racism and xenophobia and all these sort of things that, you know, obviously in South Africa, you know all about it. Yeah, fantastic film.
I think the ship was needed repairing, or they had a virus on the ship or something.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything with it.
7.9 on IMDb, but it's another indie film, I think. It's not
high budget indie, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, the main actor, all I know him from is the remake of A-Team, and he was Murdoch.
Yeah,
that's he's probably been in other things.
Charlotte Copley.
Yeah,
or Copley. Yeah, I mean, this is the film that made him, wasn't it?
It must have been, yes.
Because I think he'd done the A-Team after this. Might have been the same year. Not sure. But yeah, District 9, great film. There was rumours, I know if you always hear these things, of a District 10. As a bit of a sequel, but it's never materialised.
Now, also, wasn't there a District 8, which has got nothing to do with it? Wasn't like a base jumping thing in France, I think. So yeah, I'm sure it's District 8,
yeah.
Or maybe just District, or something like that, but it was very easy for me to get them mixed up.
Well, another one I was going to mention there, just have a look through the list, is Nowhere Boy. Now, I keep saying this, we are going to do an episode on Beatles-related movies at some point.
Right.
But yeah, Nowhere Boy tells a story of John Lennon, basically a young John Lennon becoming, getting together with the Quarrymen, becoming the Beatles, basically. I've only seen it once, to be honest, to me, great shame. But it's good. Aaron Taylor-Johnson plays John Lennon, and there's probably other people. Anne-Marie Duffy plays Julia Lennon, who's his mum, and it's about relationship with his mum, because obviously his nan or something, or his auntie, but his mum lived around the corner. Basically, she couldn't look after him, and he always had a bit, not a chip on his shoulder, but always had like problems about that, and I think it's about the relationship between them two. 7.1 on IMDb. Yeah, I liked it. Plus, fascinating fact, part of it was filmed in my old school in Sacred Heart.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Which is very weird, seeing it and going like, you just got a toilet in there.
Another fascinating fact is that apparently the only job that John Lennon held down was around the corner from us, where there was a pumping station. And it's got his coming to work sheet, and he got sacked.
Did he?
I think it's something like, it was either his first job or it was his only job, or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, that was in Skaresbrick by Ormskirk.
Oh, there you go. Madness. Any more? Because I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, loads. There is a film that got 7, and it's called Nine. Now, Nine is a poster. We didn't cover this in any post-apocalyptic thing.
I feel like we spoke about it, but no, I don't think we have.
I really like this film. So, it's animated, post-apocalyptic, and it's called Nine because there's nine, I don't want to say puppets, but sort of like ragdoll type puppets, which might put a lot of people off, but I really like the way it's been done. They're all different. One's huge, one can't speak, one's the hero who's got loads of confidence, and they are these nine ragdoll puppet things. They're not held by a puppeteer or anything. They've got their own life. They sort of like hold the key to humanity's survival because they were created by a scientist. I think that's really good for me, remembering that, and I hope that's right.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Got Elijah Woods, Jennifer Connelly, Crispin Glover, Christopher Plummer. So big names, obviously they're doing the voices, John C. Reilly, and but also it reminds me a little bit of a sort of, it's got Nazi vibes in it, I think. I don't know why I feel that, but if I watched it again, I could probably tell you.
Yeah.
Can't remember, but it's...
What do you mean, like persecution sort of things, or like, a bit like, you know...
The feel of the film, that it's all happened because of a group of people. I can't remember. I might be totally wrong. I might be talking about
that. I've never seen it. Never seen that one.
Good film. Really good little film. Again, another niche film. A little indie film.
Little cartoon. Is it animated? Computer generated?
Yeah,
animated.
And it's very good. It's very nicely done.
Oh, good. One I watched last year now, but I've seen it before, obviously. 500 Days of Summer. Now, I love this film. I think it's fantastic. It is Zoe Deschanel, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and a few other people in it as well. And basically, it's a bit, it's like, it's taking a look at the rom-com and like the love story, you know, like the romantic stories from the point of view of one person. And it's, when you start watching it, you know, it shows you a bit where like, where they're in a shop, or, you know, they're in like the house and they're in bed and they're doing whatever. And then later on in the film, you see it from her point of view. And right. he was in love, and he was seeing it as, I love this person so much, and we're having such a good time. But from her point of view, it was sort of like, not. It was just sort of going through the motions of the relationship. Yeah, really good, really good film.
Ah, comedy or?
Yeah, it's a rom-com, yeah, but it's got like dark undertones. Yeah, really good, really enjoyed it. There's a bit in it where... I don't know whether it's like they've just slept together, or he's just kissed her, or something's happened anyway, they got together. And then he's walking down the park, or in the park, and a song comes on, like an 80s, I think it's Hall & Oates, I could be wrong, and he's dancing to it, and there's like a big full-on musical number in the middle of this film.
Right.
And that's it, but it's sort of portraying it, that's how he's feeling, yes, that's in his head. Yeah. And it's a great jaunty little track as well, like, you know, like prop little dance tune. And yeah, it's good the way it twists that idea of the rom-com, the happy ever after. Yeah, it's not always like that. Spoilies. But yeah, good. Very, very highly recommended. I like that one. I think it's on Netflix as well. But yeah, good. What about Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Love it. My first Wes Anderson film that I saw, and I've gone on and on about him before. It's just the way he directs it. And I know it's difficult to say how he directs it when they are puppets and it's stop animation, but they still direct it.
Oh yeah.
There's so many things about it that's nice. And don't let it put you off that it's a Roald Dahl kids story either, because it's just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
We've got the mean guys in it who are just like hell bent on getting the fox, and he's just so, he just gets on with life. And yeah, brilliant music as well. You mentioned music in that last film. Got the soundtrack for it.
Have you?
Some brilliant songs. Rolling Stones, Beach Boys, I've got a feeling. Quite different songs in it, but I don't know, there's just something about that film that for me, it's I love it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Without getting sentimental and all of that, but cracking film.
I started watching it, and I think I fell asleep. Not through the film. It was just I was tired for whatever reason. So I never seen it, and I went back to it. But yeah, I love stop motion animation. I've always have. Think back, like when we were kids, and it was like, what's that program with the toad in it? Toad Hall, Wind in the Willows, things like that. Like all stop motion animation. It's just it just looks amazing.
It's
there's something about it.
I don't know. Is that how they managed to get these puppets to have a character of their own? Is one person doing one character, doing one puppet? There's a bit in it where Kylie is oh god, what is he? I'm trying to think what animal he is.
Fox.
No. He's the like the help, the maintenance guy, and at some point he just, he's got spirals in his eyes, and he goes, what is it? Can you hear what I'm saying? And there's just this blank look on Kylie's face, and he, raise your hand if you can hear me, and he just raises his hand. And it's just weird things. Kylie's got this strange, endearing quality about him, and he's a puppet. Is that what's going on?
I seem to think I've seen a clip on Facebook or something where it's like a split screen, and it's the actors acting it out. And then they've gone back and animated it, if that makes sense. So they've used them as reference.
Yes,
and then, so maybe it is Maybe that's how he's directed it. I don't know. Because if so, it's genius, isn't it? Genius, really. Yeah, great film. What's that on IMDb?
It's got very high. I don't know off the top of my head. I should know it because I love it so much. Right, the. Is it The Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I think it's
Fox?
Just Fantastic Mr. Fox. I think so.
Oh, I've gone and clicked on Fantastic Beasts. Where to find this is... Oh, we'll edit this out.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We don't need it. It's a good film. Go and watch it anyway.
That's I'm going to say it's going to be high sevens.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So, it is... 7.9.
So, there you go, yeah. Yeah.
Gosh.
Decent. Good. Another one for me, which I love, in a few zombie films. This is not a breath of fresh air, but it was a different way of approaching the zombie films, was Zombieland.
Oh, yes.
Woody Harrelson. Oh, my God, what's the kid's name? What's the lad's name?
Jesse Eisenberg, that's something like that.
Yeah.
Is that?
It is him. Emma Stone's in it as well. Yeah, great film. It just takes a different approach to the zombie film. So that idea of, you know, survival and, you know, is rules of survival and things like that. And it's just funny and it's comedic and you know, it is the laughter in a really horrible situation. Nice little cameo by Bill Murray.
Yes. Is he dead in it? Is he a zombie in it?
Are we going to spoil it?
I can't remember.
Okay, so basically, spoilers. They go to Bill Murray's house for some reason. I don't know why. And Bill Murray's there dressed as a zombie. He's all made up like a zombie. And then, but it turns out he's alive and he's just done that in case any zombies come so he can pretend. But they don't tell one of the four people and he gets shot in the head. But yeah, one of them.
Well, sticking with the zombie theme and again sticking with different approaches, Dead Snow, which is...
Yeah, yeah. That's 2009.
According to this.
Was it? I thought that was a lot earlier, because... Oh, no, that's probably about right, yeah.
So, wow. A party of eight Norwegian medical students travel to a remote Arctic mountain for an Easter weekend filled with skiing, and basically they defrost some zombie...
Nazis.
And it's just, what the hell? Pretty gruesome. Another very niche film. Indie film.
It's a bit of a cult classic, isn't it? Is it? Yes. Is it? It's not English language, is it? I'm sure it's a foreign language.
I think you're right there. Yeah. It's going to be Norwegian, I'm going to suggest. And it's just all hell breaks loose because these Nazis are just scattered everywhere, breaking through the snow and all of that. Of course, you see your hand thrusting through the snow. How do they get... There's obviously a way in which they are brought back to life. That these guys trigger, of course, but I can't remember.
No.
But there's a sequel as well, so what did it get? 6.3 on IMDb.
It's not your high-end movies, but it's really enjoyable. It's an enjoyable zombie film. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Well, we moved into our house around 2009, and like that was one of the DVDs we watched when, because we had no telly, like it wasn't plugged into the telly, just like at the DVD player. Remember watching that yet then? That's a long while ago. I've watched it. Yeah, enjoyable. An actual good film, though, by Armando Iannucci, of Alan Partridge fame.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thick of it is In the Loop. Have you ever seen In the Loop?
No.
So it's basically the film version of In the Thick of It.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So The Thick of It was a TV series set around politics in a... civil service department and all the goings on between the civil servants in there, and Malcolm Tucker is like sort of the main, he's the standout character, and he basically, you know, swears to, you know, all the time, is a bit of a bully, so he's in this as well. But In the Loop, so it's looking at the British and American relationship. I remember watching it, I watched it before The Thick of It, to be honest, and I really enjoyed it. I need to watch it again because it was a good film. I enjoyed it. I can't remember who's in it, to be honest.
It's not Peter Capaldi reprised.
He's in it. Who else? Tom Hollander, Chris Addison. So they were in the other one, they were in The Thick of It as well. I feel like Tony Soprano's in it. What's his name? Oh my God, what's Tony Soprano? I feel like he's in it.
We need Lee.
We do need Lee. He would know.
Leave. What is it? He's shouting at the radio. The wireless.
Shh, stop shouting so loudly. Yeah, so it's got like an American cast. Yeah, that's good. It's good, enjoyable, funny. So it's like that. It's basically the thick of it on the basement. That's basically what it is. Can't describe it any better than that. Any more for you?
Yeah, more good films. Harry Brown, quite like that. 7.2 on IMDb. So we've got Michael Caine as Harry Brown. Obviously, he's playing an older character. He's a retired Marine. He's quite lonely. He's got a mate, and his mate get killed. That's not a spoiler. Yeah. And he goes out. He's got nothing to lose, and he just doesn't give a damn. And he goes into these gangs with guns. He's just out for revenge. Yeah. Like a death wish, like an English death wish, but good.
Yeah, it reminds me of Gran Torino. No, the
yes,
Clint Eastwood one. I don't know which one came first, but it's very similar to that, isn't it? Where yes. It's just like it's a guy who's got a bit of a maybe a dodgy past. I don't know, but basically pushed
too
to
far.
The edge. Yeah, yeah, and snaps.
It's almost like he's kind of going back to the Harry Palmer type. Of days,
yeah,
you know.
Dick Carter, maybe.
Yes, yeah. Reprising those characters, but obviously not saying that it is.
Yeah.
But it's Michael Caine playing 70s Michael Caine characters.
Yeah.
Really, really good film. Really well done. Brilliant. Really good.
It is a good film. I haven't seen that since it came out, to be honest. A lot of these films. Another film, I don't know if you've seen this one, Drag Me to Hell.
Yes, I remember putting on Facebook how annoyed I was the first time I'd seen it.
Oh, really?
I said something like, that's an hour of my life. Not, I don't know, it was, I've grown to like it, not love it, grown to like it. It's tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? Who's the director?
Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Raimi, is it?
And I suppose if you watch The Evil Dead 1 or 2 with a serious head on, you probably wouldn't like it. You've got to take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah. I like this is, if you describe a horror film, this is like what you'd call a horror film. It's got gruesome parts, jump scares,
yeah
you know, it's a bit sinister, and you know, some of the tone of it, if you like. And you know what, I love the ending.
I like
I won't spoil the ending, but I love it.
I like the twist, what happens when she goes to try and undo the curse.
Yeah, might be giving a bit too much away, but yeah, I know what you mean.
And
I
just felt it was a little bit too. It's gone too Western with the loud music jump scare type, as opposed to just jump scare. But yes, it's different.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit where she. Oh, so to give the premise, basically, it's a lady who works in a bank, and an older lady comes in for a loan. Turns out that she's like a traveller, a gypsy of some sort, and can curse
Romany gypsies,
and can curse people. So she curses the girl from the bank because she wouldn't give it a loan. And then basically all these nasty things start happening. I don't know whether it's like she's got 7 days to do something about it, or she's going to be dragged to hell, basically. That's what it is. It's a horror film done well for me. That's what I want from a horror film. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah,
whereas like
yeah.
some of the horror films over recent years, which are brilliant by the way, like Hereditary and Midsommar, like I can't say I enjoy watching them, but they're brilliant films, and
I think that was the problem the first time I watched it, is I was taking it too seriously.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, good. I enjoyed it.
But
really
there's
enjoyed it.
There's too many films that I like from 2009.
Yeah. Any more coming out then?
Way too many.
Go on, what else have we got?
Right, one more. I'm going to pick one more.
All right, then.
Let's go for The Box.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this before.
Which, couple faces a moral dilemma. So the idea is the guy comes to their house, played by one of my, I love him, Frank Langella. And there's lots of things that aren't, you're not told about this film. I think he's got half his face missing, but it's very nice and tidily done. It's not like...
Oh, right.
Yeah, and you only realise it when you see him at a lot of his face has gone. We don't know why. But yeah, he comes to the house and he says... Basically, here is a box. If you push this button, you'll get £1 million, but somebody in the world will die. And yeah. that's it. And, yeah. and it's the dilemma. Well, what do we do? And I think the nice thing about this is that you start making up your own story, that the last people who had the box, maybe one of them will die if you go ahead with it, or something else, or what if it's you who's going to die? He just says somebody...
It's someone you don't know, isn't it? Or it's yeah. random, isn't it? But I mean, I haven't seen it myself, but that's in the trailer, isn't it? That's like that premise, and that's, it's a fantastic trailer as well.
Yeah,
Because they just sit down at the kitchen table, don't they? And it's like, right, so you press that button, yeah, you get $1 million or whatever, but someone will die.
And it's in the glass case or something like that. And you got really good. So it's got, what's his name? James Marsden.
Yeah.
Who is Cyclops in, yeah. if you don't know.
In the X-Men.
And obviously Cameron Diaz is probably one of her last, well, I was going to say good big roles, but it only got 5.6 on IMDb, which is shockingly low, I think. I don't know why it's so low. Why don't people like it?
Yeah.
Currently on Prime.
Oh, is it? I might get that and watch this week.
Strangely set in like the 70s for some reason.
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was modern day. Oh, right.
No. And I think another thing is that we're not really told why, is that I think she's got a bad leg. We find out how she got the bat, but it doesn't add to the story, if you know what I mean. I don't think it adds to the story, but I think it's a very good idea.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's again, it's that dilemma. What would you do?
Would you
press it?
Go on, Carl.
Would you press it? I don't think
How long can we have radio silence for?
I know. I don't think I would.
You see, you think of would, if you chose, but no. You couldn't, could you?
Because what if it was like a kid, or you know, someone who's vulnerable, or what if it was someone in your family, or you know, you couldn't do it, could you? You couldn't take that chance. That's gonna be a baddie.
Or would it come back on you?
Yeah.
Would they know
you've done it?
Yeah. How did they die? Yeah. Do they die of old age? It's like, are they gonna die immediately? Oh yeah, it's good film, really good film.
It is. Good, I like it.
Right, I'm gonna have to call it quits there. I can't.
Yeah,
there's too many to talk about. There is any more?
I've got two more I'd like to mention. let me just check this one. But yeah, The Human Centipede came out this year as well.
Oh, I'm trying to find this because we all know viewers that I will not buy it.
No, I'm sure I've just seen it on the list and now I can't find it.
Right, you say
you find it. Go on. And then the other one, I can't remember what that was. Was it? I can't find it on the list. Let's see.
Human Centipede is definitely a cult film.
Yeah.
It is 2009.
Yeah,
hang on. The first sequence is 2009.
That's it, the first one. So, yeah, for those who don't know, Human Centipede, basically, it's again, a horror film. A mad scientist kidnaps, I think it's three people.
Yeah, it's only three.
Three people, and then, for whatever reason, sews... attaches, sews, whatever you want to call it, mouths of two of them to the assholes of the other two so that when the first person eats and then has a poo, the poo goes into them and then goes through their body system and they have a poo and it goes into their body. And yeah, it's one of them films where like you've just got to watch it. I can't recommend it, but if you haven't seen it, it's gotta watch it. It's gotta watch it.
And you know what, considering how bad it must be, everybody knows of it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what it's about. Even if people, I think I've seen the first like half hour of it, where and I think he's like, is it unfortunately a stereotypical German scientist,
something
possibly.
Like that? Yeah.
Yeah, he's called Dr. Hater, and he's played by a German actor. And I don't know why I didn't watch it, because I really regret not watching it.
Yeah. Now you think like, yeah. I mean,
because you've got to watch it. You've got to watch this.
It's
film.
Such a mad premise.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? And then the sequels. I did try and watch the second one, but I didn't finish it. I don't think. And
the third one. 2.8. Final sequence.
Oh yeah. What's the second one, guy?
You know what? It's not coming up.
No.
Don't know why.
I'm
missing it. It's missing the mouse.
And what's the first one?
First one, 4.4.
Yeah, that's probably generous. It's just that it's iconic in terms of the premise. Isn't it? What a weird, weird thing to think about.
Written by Tom Six, directed by Tom Six. What else has he done? The second one got 3.8. I don't know. Looking at these, his films aren't very well loved.
No, they won't be, I'm sure.
Very unusual titles as well.
Well, my last one I'm going to mention two more. I'll mention Knowing with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Great film, we talked about before. Great film, spoiled by the ending. Can I spoil the ending? Have you seen it?
I've seen it. Now, hang on, because there was another film, there was two films very similar. This is the one where he starts, there's a code, and he starts seeing dates in it.
It's predicting disasters, basically.
And coordinates of where it's going to happen, date of when it's going to happen, and he starts to realise it. So, an interesting, is it M. Night Shyamalan? It is.
I didn't think
it's
it was.
It's his type of film.
It's not his, this was not his.
Right.
So yeah, there's a brilliant scene where it's on like a highway and the plane crashes and it crashes right in front of him and it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's a great premise again. Can I spoil the ending?
Go on, because I can't remember it.
It's aliens.
Spoilies.
It's aliens again.
Aliens.
It's aliens. Fuck off, aliens.
Is that Red Dwarf as well?
I think it might be aliens. Aliens. The Quaggars.
So we've gone full circle.
So
there.
Basically, yeah, it's basically the aliens that sent these numbers down or something, and then they wanted to save bits of humanity, and they take all the kids to heaven.
That's right.
And
then the last
scene is all these kids on this like sort of Garden of Eden, but it looks awful with these aliens. It's just like, oh no, no. You've spoiled a good film there. Could have been really like interesting. And now you just went, oh, it's aliens. So anyway, one of my pet hates aliens. But the last one I will mention is The Final Destination. Again,
I can't believe that was 14 years ago.
I know. Well, this is the fourth one. The Final Destination
so they
is the
did,
fourth one.
They did do another one, didn't
they? They've done five after that
Which
as well.
Was the prequel. Because we talked
Spoilers.
About it. No, we've talked about it before.
I know,
so
but
it's already been spoiled before.
The Final Destination films are what you get what you get. You get what you get. I watched them all back to back a while ago, and you know what? They're really entertaining. Gruesome, nerve-wracking, fun.
How's it going to kill them? How's it going to kill them?
So this one is... What is this one?
Is this the racetrack?
Racetrack, that's right, the racetrack. which neatly wraps everything up from the other films as well.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that they should have been on the plane as well.
Right.
All the people who died there should have been on the plane, and so it all goes back to the plane. from the first one. Yeah, really good films. Enjoy them.
It's the type of film where you get eyeballs thrown across the room and things like that. I'm sure that happens in one of them.
There is, and it gets squished, doesn't it? Oh, that's right, and I get thrown out the window, and then it gets squished by a truck or a bus or something like that, right in front of you.
When you find out somebody's going to die, you start seeing other things happening, like they're up in, I'm sure they go into, she goes into a, not the tanning salon, because I know that's a different one, but a lawnmower starts up outside, and then there's a truck coming down the road, and you think, oh, what's going to happen, and then something else happens, and it's like, what's going to kill her?
Yeah.
Is it going to be the lawnmower, the truck, or that?
It's just a stone from the lawnmower, isn't it? Like
spoilers.
She's in the hairdresser or something, isn't it? And there's all stuff going on, like something falls. And
such a simple thing.
And she just opens the door, turns around, and just whacks it in the face,
I used to tell my kids when they were younger, because we got like the stones by our lawn, and they'd always kick them by mistake, and say, make sure you do that, because I know of somebody when they were somebody was using the lawnmower and it hit the stone and it killed them, and they said
and
did it dead. And I said I know that, I knew the person, so it was like a white lie.
It's like that on Arrested Development, and that's why you're never messing out with it. Like, have you seen that? They hire a fella on it to scare the kids, and he's only got one arm. So he just gets, the arm gets dragged off by different things, and they always say, and that's why you don't mess with doors, and you know, things like that. Just scare the kids. I like it. Right, 2009, good year, bad year.
What a year.
There's some decent films, isn't
there? There's so many films as well that I've got in my Blu-ray collection, and I'm a stingebag, and so many that I would watch over and over again as well. Wonder Why.
Yeah, good year. Lots of really like solid, decent films. Yeah. Not amazing like Inglourious Basterds. I think's amazing.
Lots of indie films.
Yeah, loads of indie films.
Niche. Human centipede.
Can't say that's good life, but nah. Yeah. Enjoyable. Wow. Yeah, I'd say 2009 was a good year.
Definitely.
Yeah. Happy days. Right, well, thanks for listening, buddy. If you want to get in contact on all socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And next episode's probably going to be what we've been watching.
We've been watching, definitely.
Yeah. We are due to do The Matrix soon as well.
Brilliant.
Oh, can't wait. Love The Matrix. Right, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
See ya.